This is the parable of the pencil. The pencil maker took the pencil in his hands just before putting it into a box. And he said to the pencil, I have five things to tell you before you go out into the world. I want you to always remember these five things and do them well, and then you will become the best pencil that you can possibly be. Here's number one. You will do many great things, but first you must be held in someone's hand. Number two, you will experience some painful sharpening, but it will make you a better pencil. Number three, you will make mistakes, but I've provided a way for you to erase them. Number four, you are made of multiple parts, but the most important part is what is inside you. Number five, on every surface where you are used, you will make your mark. And that's the parable of the pencil. You and I are the pencil, and God is the pencil maker. Let's explore that. The pencil maker's first instruction was this: you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in someone's hand. Now, I'm sure you know this scripture verse. This is from 2 Proclamations 3:16. He's got the whole world in his hand. Amen? Amen. Well, he does, and that includes you. He has you in the palm of his hand. But do you allow him to have control? Do you allow him? Now, in our English language, we use the word hand in figurative ways. In fact, if you were to look up the definition of the word hand in the dictionary, you would discover nearly a full page of definitions of the word hand. For instance, we say, he's got the upper hand. We say, I have to hand it to you. We say, can you lend me a hand with this? Now, in the Hebrew and Greek, the same is true. The Bible often uses the word hand very figuratively. For instance, sometimes the word hand is used to describe God's power. Psalm 118:15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. When you are in his hands, brothers and sisters, you are in strong and mighty hands. Would you rather be in something else? Would you rather be in any other hands? Now, the word hand in the Bible is also described, is used to describe a God who saves, as in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Praise God that he saved you. Praise God that he rescued you from eternal damnation. Would you want to be in any other hand? Would you even consider letting go of his hand? The Bible also says that in his hand you are safe. John 10:29, Jesus was teaching to those who were about to receive the gift of eternal life, and he said, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You are not safe in any other hands. You are not safe in any other hands, brothers and sisters. One more. The Bible tells us that God's hands are helping hands. Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I will help you. Do you need some help today? Do you think David Cross and Debbie Cross need some help today? Do you think Patty Lipa and Bob Lipa need some help today? What about you? Do you want his help? It's there for you, brothers and sisters. It's there for you. You are the pencil, and God is the pencil maker. You will be able to do great things, but you have to allow yourself to be held in his strong, his saving, his safe, his helping hand. Now, that was the pencil maker's first instruction. This was the second. You will experience painful sharpening from time to time, but it will make you a better pencil because of it. Perhaps the most vivid example of that in all of the Bible is Job. He was a man who was clearly in God's hands. But as the first chapter of his story unfolds, Satan said to God, "Stretch out your hand, God, and strike everything Job has, and he will surely curse you face to face." And God allowed Satan to test Job in relentless and tragic and painful ways. It was a very painful sharpening that would have broken most of us, I believe. But Job remained faithful. And in the very last chapter of his story, it says this: "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first." That was a powerful message from God, and it was for you. It was for you. And it's found in the Old Testament. The same is true in the New Testament. Here's Romans 5, beginning in verse 3. "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us." Many of you are being sharpened right now, aren't you? Remember that God has promised in his holy word that you will be a better pencil because of it. What was the third thing that the pencil maker said? It was this: "You will make mistakes, but I have provided a way for you to erase them." You know, I love a pencil that leaves no marks on the page when you erase it. I hate a pencil that leaves dark smudges on the page and leaves residue there. I hate that. Don't you? Well, God's eraser is Jesus Christ. God's eraser is Jesus, your friend and your Savior, your Redeemer. And he forgives your sins as if they were never there. Amazing. No smudges allowed. The prophet Micah gave us a beautiful picture in chapter 7, verse 19. He said, "You, Lord, will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Wow. Let me ask you, how deep is the sea? How deep is the ocean? Do we even know? The deepest that a scuba diver can go into the ocean safely is 130 feet. That's a lot. 130 feet. In 2014, however, an Egyptian diver broke the record, and he went down 1,000 feet. In 2012, movie director James Cameron broke world records with a submarine exploration, and he went down 35,756 feet. Wow! That is 120 times deeper than the Grand Canyon. That is more than a mile deeper than the Mount Everest is tall. And we still don't know how deep the sea is. But we do know that God threw our sins there. Wow. And hallelujah. Hebrews 8:12, paraphrased to make it more personal for you. God says this, I will forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more. That is God's divine eraser. It leaves no smudges. If I forgive you, it leaves smudges. If you forgive me, it leaves smudges. But when God forgives us, we are pure and holy in His sight. Thank you, God, for your divine eraser. Now, we've covered three of the pencil maker's five proclamations. Number four was this. You're made of multiple parts, but the most important part of you is what is inside of you. For the pencil, that's the lead. Without the lead, he's a useless pencil. And for you and for me, that is the Holy Spirit of God. We're told the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That is a great mystery, and there are many other scriptures that say virtually the same thing. But listen, how is it possible for the creator of the entire universe to live in me? How can he possibly take up residence in you? Do you remember what Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple? Here's one of the things he said, 1 Kings 8:27. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him. How much less this temple I have built? We often use our limited spatial terminology to describe things of God, and that's natural. That's because we are limited, and it's understandable. Is God's Holy Spirit everywhere? Then is God's Holy Spirit also inside unbelievers? Some people say yes. Some people say no. Most people say, I don't know. What does it mean to say that God lives in your heart? Wouldn't that make your heart burst? We don't fully understand it. But this we do know. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. That means that God is greater than the devil. God is with you. God is in you. God is around you. God is for you. Hallelujah. And he is the lead in your pencil. And without him, you are not a pencil. You are just a shell that cannot do what you were created to do. I believe this, to say that the Holy Spirit dwells within us is to describe a personal relationship, not a physical location. A personal relationship. It is a relationship of intimacy and love with God and God with you. It's a magnificent gift of God to you. Praise God that he's put oil in your lamp and makes you the light of the world, and he puts lead in your pencil. Amen? So, what are we going to do about it? And that brings us to the pencil maker's last item, number five. He said, on every surface where you are used, you will make your mark. What kind of mark are you making for Jesus? Remember that the pencil maker said that if you observe all five of his proclamations and his instructions, you would be the best pencil that you could possibly be. So the question is, are the marks that you are leaving in this world the best marks you can make? Or do you need to do more? Do you need to try harder? I want to tell you a story. Perhaps one of the most effective preachers who made his mark for Jesus Christ on this world was Dwight L. Moody. In the 1800s, he preached to thousands and tens of thousands of people all over the world and led them to give their life to Jesus Christ. But there's one story about his ministry that I want to share with you. He was in London, England, on vacation. A pastor of a large church ran into him and was so excited. He said, "Would you consider coming Sunday to our church and preaching? We have multiple services. And also Sunday night and preach to the Sunday night service." Well, he really did not want to do it. He said, "It would have taken a whole day out of my vacation. I really was feeling very selfish," but something within me said, "Do it." So he did. And when he got there and he preached the first service, it was a cold, non-responsive congregation. It wasn't even a Presbyterian church. It was a cold, non-responsive congregation. And he regretted that he had ever promised to come preach there. How would he ever get through more services with this group of people? And how could he possibly come back on Sunday night? Well, that morning, there was an elderly woman in attendance. Can anyone identify with elderly woman? There was an elderly woman in attendance, and she went home after the service where she lived with her invalid sister. And as she was making lunch for them, she told her sister about the famous Dr. Moody who had come to their church that morning and how unresponsive the congregation was. Her sister's eyes lit up. You see, she had been secretively praying for years that the great Dwight L. Moody would come to their church in London to preach, and now here he is. And she said to her sister, "Stop making lunch. We are going to spend the afternoon praying and fasting." And they did. And the evening came. And Moody went back to that same church, dreading it. And he said, "As I sat on the platform waiting, I thought something's different here tonight." And he preached and he gave his invitation to give your life to Jesus Christ. And he said, "If you wish to give your life to him and be saved from your sins, stand up." 500 people stood up. He was shocked. And so he said, "Sit down." And then he told them again what this was all about. "Now, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, stand up." And 500 people stood up again. And that was the beginning of what became the biggest revival in England's history. Why? Because two old ladies, one of them bedridden, said, "We don't need any more programs. We don't need any more organizations. We don't need any more activity. We need the power of God." And they prayed for it. And the Holy Spirit answered, and he filled their pencil. He used their pencils to change the people of England. They made their mark all over the country. And that's the parable of the pencil. Brothers and sisters, put yourself in God's hands. And allow yourself to be sharpened when you need to be. And allow him to erase your mistakes, praise God. And remember that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And on every surface where he leads you, and on every person that he puts in your path, make your mark. Then, watch the pencil maker change the world through you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit and for filling us and giving us the opportunity, Lord, to make a mark on this world for you and your kingdom. May we do it wholeheartedly with our whole self, body, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.